I've told you from time to time that one day we'd talk about the sheep and the goats. And so today's the day. This is Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 25. It begins in verse 31, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man comes as King and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me. Thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me. These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, speaking about judgment is always a tough topic. And so I just pray this morning that you would give us your words, not mine. And for that, I'll be very, very grateful and give you all the glory and praise and honor. Amen. One of the things in living for Jesus and living with Jesus that he really dislikes is when his people won't make a decision. Even if you make the wrong one, Jesus is happier with that than if you just don't do anything. You see something and you think about it forever, but you don't do something. You don't either care for it or you decide to walk away. There's a church that's written about in Revelations. There's a place called Laodicea. And it was a church that Jesus really had troubles with, because in the scripture it says they were lukewarm. They really kind of sat on the fence. And so you're far better off in your relationship with Jesus to make a decision and then do whatever you decide. Even if you have made the wrong choice, it's better than to not have made a choice. A number of years ago in Missouri, there was a congregation. There was a young preacher that was supposed to be coming to preach that day. The congregation didn't know it, but the young man had to walk 20 miles to get to this country church. He was there. He was tired. He was hungry. He delivered the sermon, and he did a horrible job. He faltered. He floundered. He failed. And the people in the church were absolutely unresponsive to him. They didn't say a word. When the service was over, none of them invited him to come have a meal with them. None of them spoke to him. They didn't know that now he was going to have to walk 20 miles back to where he had started from, and so dejected, feeling rejected, feeling quite terrible, actually. He started down the road, but the janitor grabbed him. The janitor was a man of color, and he grabbed that preacher, and he said, would you take a few minutes and come sit with me in the shed over there, and I'll share my lunch with you, and so we can talk. Years passed by. And then this young preacher became a bishop. He had matured in age, but he had also matured in wisdom and in being a wonderful and effective pastor and preacher. And so as bishop, this little country church, now the city had grown out to them, and now they needed a new place, and they had built this new church. And so they invited the bishop to come on that first Sunday when they were going to worship there in the new church and to help dedicate it and to give the message. It was the same place that the bishop had been so long ago. And when he got to the church that morning, he gave a wonderful message. He blessed and dedicated that sanctuary for those people. And when the service was over, everybody crowded around him to congratulate him. And he pushed them all aside. And he invited the black janitor, who was quite a bit older now, but to come with him. To come with him and go have lunch together. You see, nobody in that church, no one had cared to even tell this young preacher that he was lousy, or that they understood that he had to walk the 20 miles, or that they wanted to pray for him so he could get better, or wouldn't you care to have a bite to eat with me? There was just no response out of the congregation at all, except for one man. And that was the man that the now bishop wanted to spend his time with. This, by the way, really is a true story. This is Bishop Marvin, and he is someone that was world-renowned before he went on to glory. I bet the congregation that morning, they were a little bit stunned. They didn't quite know what to do. But they couldn't make a decision. They could have either blasted that young man for the lousy job he did that day, or they could have invited him in, and either way the young man would have felt like something. But they didn't do anything, and so The black janitor? He must have been surprised that morning. I don't know if he even remembered that day. But Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Is what the scripture says. The sheep and the goats and the separation of that is called a parable, but in the structure of a parable, it really isn't a parable. It's a metaphor, you see. It's a metaphor around which Jesus builds the fact that when he comes back again, he's coming in judgment. He's coming in salvation. So in the parable of the sheep and the goats, there's a story within the story. There was a story within the story of Bishop Marvin too, wasn't there? There is the business of caring for people. That's one part of the story. And the other part of the story is the metaphor of those who care and those who for whatever reason decide not to. You and I are living in a time of expectation, a time when we are looking forward to the return of the Lord, for Jesus coming again. And it's really easy for us to be excited about when Jesus comes again, how wonderful it will be. Because among other things, he's going to finally deal with all of the evil in the world. But I'm not so sure that we're ready for when he comes again, when we find out he's coming in judgment, to take a look at how you and I have been living. The disciples, as you know, had asked Jesus, when are you coming back? And Jesus said, well, I don't really know. My Father is the only one, and so far he hasn't told me. So in the meantime, just get prepared, Jesus told the believers, the followers, the disciples. He said, just continue on doing what you're doing, doing good in this world in my name. And we'll leave the timing up to God. Be busy, Jesus said, in a way, with the gifts and the talents that God has given you to care for God, to care for people. In the description in the scripture, it says the nations. These are the ones that Jesus is coming back for, and I don't want you to be confused. He's not talking about countries. He's talking about people in those countries, and the scholars have tried to figure this out. They debate this back and forth. By the nations, is Jesus meaning everybody, or is he just meaning the Jews, or is he just meaning those who are the unbelievers? That judgment is coming upon. But if you read Matthew at all, you'll pretty much come to the understanding that Jesus is talking about everybody. Everyone, Jew or Gentile. Listen to what he said once again after his resurrection. This is Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If the admonition is there for you and I to go to everyone to bring the good news of the gospel, then we can understand when Jesus comes back, he means to bring to everyone either their reward or judgment upon them. In the scriptures, it says that the king, meaning Jesus, will separate the sheep from the goats, putting the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the folks that were there that day, they knew all about that. They knew all about the shepherds in the fields. You see, often the goats and the sheep mingled together during the day, and then at night, the goats, they had a thinner coat, and they would need a warmer place to stay. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to be able to separate the sheep from the goats. And the shepherds were very good at it and very efficient, and they could do it without any problem. Jesus is the good shepherd. When he comes again and there's this time of separation, Jesus is not going to have any problem at all with finding the sheep, the righteous as they're described, and putting them on his right side. Do you remember the right side is the place of honor next to the king? The sheep, it tells us, will be welcomed into the glories of heaven. Welcomed because they took care of people while they were here. The ones that we're talking about here in our society are the ones who are the homeless, the ones that don't have enough food, the ones who dress differently than others because they can't afford clothing. The people in prison, those who are sick, the ones we're talking about are the ones that we come into contact with that maybe they haven't bathed for a while, and yet they are children of God, and we're to care for them. I'm always excited to brag on this congregation with my clergy colleagues and others because of all of the things that you do to help out the ones that we're talking about here. In just this past year, you touched 640 lives up in New London at the Mission of Hope. I don't know the exact count, but we're somewhere near 80 in the quilting this year. And so there are 80 or so women and their families were touched with the love of Christ in a crisis situation. Through love offerings that you have made during this year, people have been helped out financially where they couldn't come up with the money. Meals have been served to so many people at the emergency shelter, and you bring food and give it to the food pantry. Homes that can no longer be cared for by the people that live there have been cleaned and refurbished and repaired up in Rhinelander because of the caring of this community of believers. The money that you have given to the One Great Hour of Sharing, which is UMCOR, has been used for disaster relief in the United States and all over the world. And so I remind you of all of this, of your caring, not so that you would be prideful, and not so that you would count your good deeds as credit when Jesus comes again in judgment, but as a reminder that good deeds flow out of a relationship with Jesus. Good deeds to people are a part of who we are as the family of God. You remember our instructions. There are two that are paramount. One is that we have a relationship with God the Father. We give him everything that we have. And the other one is that we have this relationship with everyone in this world, and we care for them and we love them because they are our neighbor. You see, Jesus in the scripture for today tells us that the sheep, the ones who have cared for folks, are going to be in heaven, and they will probably be surprised because they didn't realize how closely Jesus was watching them. Oh, not to check on them and give them a grade, but to be with them and to empower them and encourage them in the things that they do. C.S. Lewis said this, "The rule for all of us is fairly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor or not. Act as if you did." And don't you wish this scripture would end here in the good news of folks who in Christ care for one another, and that a heavenly reward is awaiting them? Don't you wish it would end here and that everyone would be included in that group? And yet, Jesus says there's another group of folks. They're not going to be on the right. They're not going to be with the sheep. God loves us so much that he wants to make sure that we know the truth. He wants to make sure that we don't get caught up in this excitement about the righteous going to heaven, as it says in the word that we read today, but that everyone knows there's another possibility. There are the goats, the ones who will be separated out and be on Christ, left when he comes again. They will be in a position that they're headed for eternal punishment. And if you look at the original language, the words that are used for punishment here also means torment. And why will they be destined to eternal torment? Because they didn't care for people. Because they didn't work at nurturing a relationship. Nurturing a relationship with God, with Jesus. Let me read for you the last three verses out of Eugene Peterson's The Message. Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" He will answer them, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me." Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Harsh lesson for us this morning, but they are the words of the one who was resurrected from the dead, who is alive today, and who is coming again. When Jesus comes again, the judgment will be final. There will be no court of appeals. And so, given the love that God has for you, this offer of eternal life that is extended to you, to everyone, and the finality of this last judgment, don't you think it's time to follow Jesus? Living in those ways in which you love God and you love others. I've known my life without Jesus, like so many. I've known my life with Jesus, like so many. And understanding and given the choices, oh, my friends, I'd rather be a sheep. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is hard. But with your help, we can understand. With your help, we can be the sheep, the ones who care for others. May you use our hands and our feet to go into the world, to care for the least and the lost. Amen.